TheBigRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
This is your favorite TNA knockout, Tara.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening to the Rock of God.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the Wrestling Radio Awards Best News Show, The Rack.
We're not acting like we're in second grade. We are working through our anger issues. You see, Kane and I, we used to be a lot like you. But thanks to Dr. Shelby, we're in a better place now. And not only that, we are champions. You do want to be a champion again.
Yes.
Don't you, Andy?
Yes, I do. And after I win the Royal Rumble match, I...
Wait. First, we win our tag match, and then... Group hug!
Giving you unique insights into the world of professional wrestling in WWE and TNA.
Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian.
The
tag team champions.
No, world tag team champions of the world.
That's redundant. Totally
it's not redundant. We're two planets worth of great. We've established this time and time again. World tag team champions of the world. Hashtag it, everybody.
The first time you hear it, you think you made a mistake.
Intelligent people know better. That's all I have to say on that.
And just whichever like two worlds you want to choose, it's up to you.
Like, yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Even Pluto counts, even though it's not a planet anymore, despite the fact they found another moon.
But it is still a dog.
It is.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh, my God, it's Taker. Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh, my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
If you smell la 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 la, what the sock is cooking?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sorry about your damn luck.
Right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's MemLanePromo.com for all your memorabilia needs. They've got your Blackhawks stuff, they've got your wrestling stuff, they've got your basketball stuff, and your baseball stuff, and I believe some football stuff, too. So go over there, check them out, buy stuff, please, because we like them, and they're awesome. So, yeah! Joining me tonight, as always, is my ever-faithful, ever-diligent, ever-crazy producer, Sir Rockin.
Yes, I am here. I am here. And the world revolves around what? Well, that's for us to know and you, well, to keep guessing.
One of Taker's heads.
Mm-hmm.
We won't tell you which one.
Hi, everybody. What's going on? Everyone having a good night tonight? This is The Rack, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. You excited? We sure are, because tonight's a fun night.
It is. We have quite a lot to talk about with news, with notes, with an explosive impact, and of course our monthly segment for the next little bit, Ask the Rack. So once a month we will be doing this segment where you can ask us anything and everything you ever wanted to know, except our phone numbers and our addresses, because we will not tell you that. And we will answer them to the best of our abilities, because my work schedule is awesome like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I hang my head and shake it. But before we get into everything, I think we should tell the people the question of the night.
Our question of the night this evening is simple. If you could do an entrance with any superstar, who would it be?
Hmm. Interesting.
If you really want our phone number, we can give you our phone number. If you really want it.
Doesn't mean we'll answer.
Doesn't mean we will answer, but if you really want our phone number, we can give it to you. So, do you have a paper and pencil ready? I can give it to you. And you can call this number any time of day. Alright, ready for it, Stone? It's 587-894-7369. Call it any time of day, 24/7. Like 4 a.m., perfect time to call this phone number.
You're an evil asshole. Stone, that's not the right number. Don't call it.
Yeah, do it especially early in the morning, like 4 or 5 o'clock. Perfect timing.
Unless you want tickets to the next Canadian All-Pro show, saddle up this Saturday night, Canadian Legion. Go to the Canadian All-Pro Facebook and CanadianAllPro.com for details. Don't call it, because you'll get a very nasty response.
Wow, you being politically correct tonight. Wow.
He started dialing. Awesome. Well, I'm just, you know, we don't want an unhappy Tim Stein. Because you know what happens when an unhappy Tim Stein calls this show.
When he calls this show? He never calls this show.
Yeah, I know he never calls this show. That's why I don't want him to call this show.
He's too busy. Anyway, moving on. Before I get myself in trouble, because I think he's actually listening on Shoutcast, I think. Or was, at least he was trying to on his phone. Anyway,
moving on. Well, speaking of unhappy, just, I guess the best way to transition it, we have some not happy news this week to talk about. Sadly, the news segment's going to be a little bit of a downer. But there were a couple really, really, really huge stories that broke in the last couple days. I think the biggest one probably would have to be the issues surrounding CM Punk and his family.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you that were not aware, the story broke, I believe, on Tuesday or Wednesday, that Punk had sought a restraining order against his actual mother for the fact that she was harassing him and making suicide threats against him, and so he wanted a restraining order against her to stop her from harassing him.
Mm-hmm.
And then the update of the story is, of course, that today the judge did grant the order. It is for 2 years. However, it is unknown whether the judge also agreed to ban her from WWE events or if she is still allowed to attend those or not. Of course, Punk can get her blocked from the arena easily enough. But very, very, very interesting and somewhat sad story coming out.
Yeah, it is quite the sad story. I feel bad for Punk. Best way to put it, I feel bad for Punk.
I have to agree. I know, we all know he did not come from a happy home life, and this is just kind of sort of the icing on the cake. And it just kind of doesn't help his mother any when she's, one, making threats to kill herself, but two, she's threatening to release exposing and embarrassing information about him if he doesn't comply.
Yeah, that's kind of messed up.
That's kind of sort of making your son's case for him without him having to do anything. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad to know that Punk came through the other side okay. It doesn't seem... He hasn't made a lot of comments on it.
I don't think he's made any comments, really.
Not that I've seen. I think the only comments we're seeing are the ones that came out when he was in court, and he may, or through his lawyers, or those kinds of things, but he has not made any official comments, so hopefully he comes through this unscathed, and everything works out, and hopefully things work out in the end for everybody involved.
Here's to hoping.
And that people don't do crazy stupid things. Don't do crazy stupid things, people. Not.
Yes, don't go do crazy stupid things. We don't want to be held responsible for you doing crazy stupid things.
We are officially not culpable. Oh, look! Matt, remember what time our show starts. Mm-hmm. Hi, Matt!
If he can hear us, he's been having issues with the flash and stuff.
Ah, okay.
You know.
Sorry, Matt.
He'll be here. Anyway, moving on.
Anyway, moving on. The other kind of downer story, but also uplifting based on the video that was released today. For those of you that don't know, yesterday a video was released by DDP and his people regarding Jake Roberts and how Jake has in fact fallen off the wagon, at least with alcohol. They admitted that he had started drinking again, and that more footage was basically to come shortly. It was released in a two-part video. The second part was released today, and it showed Jake and DDP talking about the drinking and what Jake had actually done. And it's kind of interesting. It's very sad in one respect because it's Jake kind of stumbling and falling again, which is not what you want to see.
No.
Especially after all the progress that he's made. But it shows that also that some of that progress hasn't been lost. because he knew he had done something wrong. He didn't lie about it. He didn't cover it up. He was very frank, very upfront in the video. If you want to check it out, go over and check out our other sponsor, PWMania.com. They have it up on their website right now. Both videos are there, actually. And it's kind of uplifting to know that Jake wants to change, and he still wants to do that, and he recognizes the fact that he screwed up. Like, he says it.
Yeah, he realizes that he screwed up, and the biggest thing when it comes to addicts like Jake has been for his entire life is they're good liars, and they're used to lying and covering things up. He was straightforward. He did not lie. He was straightforward. And if you can get an addict to stop lying to you, you've made significant progress.
Yes. And so I think they're going to continue to work with DDP in regard, or with Jake, I should say. DDP and Jake are going to continue to work together. DDP didn't seem too angry about it. At this stage, I don't think there's been any announcements as far as whether he's going to get to stay in the accountability crib. I would say so.
I think he's going to have his meetings, and he's going to take his pills, and he was accountable for his actions, and that's what they want.
Right. So hopefully he gets to stay where he is, and they continue to work with him. Mm-hmm. And it's obviously a huge positive step. It's a step backwards for him, but at the same time, he took a huge positive step with it, which is wonderful to see him do.
It is. It is a nice step, and that's best way to put it. It was a nice step. And addicts have a long way to go, and he has a long road ahead of him.
He does. And again, DDP deserves a Nobel Prize for the work he's doing. Seriously, he does. He really does.
Right.
Because he's doing some remarkable things, and it's sad that he doesn't get really more attention than he should with it.
And he's not doing this for publicity. He's just trying to help his buddies and help people.
I completely understand that, but still, it's people need to see the work that he's doing to show that he is doing good things, and he is doing this out of the goodness of his heart with his own money.
Yes.
I don't think he takes any donations or anything like that, or he's backed by anybody, and they kind of come out and say that they are not a rehab center, and they're still learning about rehab.
Right.
But they're doing everything they can to help Jake and Scott Hall. So, props to DDP.
Yeah, always big props. The work he's doing with a lot of people, and you can see it on his YouTube series. He's doing a lot of work with them, and he's doing a good job. We support DDP Yoga, just pointing that out.
Yes, we support DDP Yoga. I do DDP Yoga when I remember to do it, which isn't often.
I like the qualifier, when I remember to do it.
Well, it's kind of one of those things that it's on the DVDs, and you have to put the DVDs in the player, and then you have to switch over to the player, and then I have to make room in the living room, and then I have to have enough time to do the yoga without passing out, and yeah.
Well, you got rid of the turtle doves and the French hens. You should have plenty of room.
Well, no, because I still have the coffee table, so... And the coffee table's not being gotten rid of, so I have to move the coffee table, and it's quite a substantial piece of furniture. It's not substantial, but it has the coffee table, and then it has little pie slices that come out underneath it that turn into side tables. So yeah, it's a little cumbersome sometimes to move the coffee table.
That would explain it.
Anyway, there was a story that you wanted to talk about. Do you want to cover that now, or do you want to talk about?
Yeah, we'll get into that now. For many of them, we don't cover it often here on the show because it's not our forte. You usually hear it on Kayfabe Wrestling Radio Tuesday nights right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Ring of Honor. Their world champion, Jay Briscoe and Mark Briscoe, are leaving the company for the foreseeable future, according to reports. Their contracts were coming up. Why we're talking about it here is they were supposed to be signed by WWE, but then, well, one Jay Briscoe made a tweet. And it wasn't a very nice tweet, it vowing to shoot anyone who teaches his children about marriage between same-sex couples. Oh, Jay. Poor Jay. Twitter is a bad thing.
I was going to say, the beautiful thing about Twitter, you can say anything you want in 140 characters or less. The horrible thing about Twitter, you can do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. So he kind of put his foot in his mouth. And probably basically stop their chances of going to WWE. They were in the process of getting a developmental deal, but the decision was to pull the contract. And that's why we brought it up here, because, well, they're now out of Ring of Honor, and J.E. Briscoe is still the world champion. And that was the original plan. The original plan was to keep the belt on him and then do a tournament of some sort. It's just really interesting that they did not make him drop the belt. Because every time when you're leaving a company, you should technically drop the belt.
You should at least give up the belt and, I think, go out on your back is how you're supposed to do it, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it would make sense that, okay, the guy's leaving and they had him drop the belt. The only thing I can figure is maybe the Briscoes saw the painting on the wall early and talked to Ring of Honor about it, and maybe they're trying to negotiate something with Ring of Honor.
Quite possibly. They could be on their way back, but as of now, they're not. So we'll see. Stay tuned for updates on Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, but I felt like we should talk about it because we were asked about it on the Twitter, so I figured I'd mention it here on this show.
Yes. And also the reason why we do not talk ROH is we don't watch ROH. It's not carried.
It's not carried here in Philly, and Philly used to be their home base, so kind of can't watch it.
I think it's carried here in Salt Lake, I think, but I don't know what channels it's on, and honestly, I could not tell you what time it's on either. So,
right.
But I think I saw a commercial for it once, but I don't know if it's still carried out here.
Right.
So it's not easily accessible for us to watch. This is a disclaimer. That's why we don't talk about it. Otherwise, we kind of have a policy that if we don't watch it, we don't talk about it.
Right, but this was a big enough story that we should mention it.
Yes, absolutely. So, interesting things to come with the Briscoes as far as ROH is concerned. Do they go to WWE? Do they go back to ROH? Or do they, well, go home for a little bit?
We shall see.
We shall definitely see. But, speaking of jumping ship, and he says, be right back, right as I start this. Great. Anyway, speaking of jumping ship, we're not going to do that just yet. We'll wait till Rock gets back. But we're going to talk real quick about Jack Swagger. For those of you who did not hear, he went to court. He went in front of the judge. He talked about the charges before him. And, well, he got his sentencing handed to him. No jail time for Swagger. He is on probation. He did have to pay a fine and court costs. And what's interesting is the transcript that kind of came out about Jack Swagger, and really what happened with the DUI as far as when he got pulled over. The officer described Swagger's demeanor. He was very, very polite. He handled the thing well, but he was very talkative. He was very nervous. And as far as his speech and everything were concerned, it was very slurred. He failed the field sobriety test. In fact, the officer went on record as saying it was one of the worst, if not the worst, field sobriety test he's ever seen, ever, which is kind of awful, if you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, it is a small town in Mississippi.
It is a small town in Mississippi, yes.
And apparently they showed the video of Swagger taking the field sobriety test on the side of the road, which I would kind of pay money to see.
I kind of want to see it.
Yeah, I kind of want to see it, too. And also, the officer testified that Swagger handed him his credit card when he was asked for his driver's license. But the interesting thing is that Swagger apparently admitted to doing the pot to the cop.
Well, at least he wasn't telling a lie.
Yeah, the exact quote from Swagger is that he basically, or the exact quote from the officer is that he smoked some marijuana before leaving the Coliseum that night, and then Swagger told the officer, "I know I effed up. I apologize, man." And there was also marijuana in the car, which is never good. Kind of an interesting scenario all around. I wouldn't mind reading the transcripts of that trial as opposed to Paula Deen's. And also to see the video.
Oh, Paula Deen. Wow, that story is a mess, by the way.
I have a rant on that. Later.
Later. I'm just going to say this right now. Anyone who thinks Paula Deen should get fired, you're sadly mistaken, and they're painting her out to be something that she's not.
Well, I have a rant, and then I have something to read to everybody, which it's going to be pulled from a very, very thought-out and wonderful post that I read earlier today. I shared it on my Facebook, and I'll put it out on my Twitter later. But yeah, it pertains to the Paula Deen case, particularly, and I'm going to do that at the end of the show. I don't mean to get political, so if anybody gets offended, please wait till the end of the show to leave. Don't leave now, but I'm warning everybody now. I do have a rant on that, and I do have something to share with everybody that will hopefully provoke some thought. But for Jack Swagger, as far as he's concerned, he was fined $1,000plus $300 in court costs for the DUI conviction. He was also fined $198 for speeding, and he must attend an alcohol safety class and victim impact class. If he attends both of those classes, he can get his license back in 90 days as opposed to waiting a year. So he got very lucky.
Well, if he screws up, then, well, he's going to jail.
Right, because he's on probation right now, but something tells me the company is not going to let him screw up again.
Mr. Swagger is going to probably have a driver very, very soon.
A driver, or they're just going to keep him off the road, potentially, I would imagine. Well, no, they can't because he's in the Money in the Bank match.
Yeah, he's in the Money Back match. He's come back on the road, which is kind of interesting.
Well, if you think about it, it's not really that hard. He just has to ride with somebody as opposed to driving himself. And I'm sure people wouldn't mind doubling up with him and riding with him. The only difference is that he can't drive. So if they split the drive, he can't do that. But I'm sure there are ways around that.
Get a car service. Have him ride with one of the boys. It'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll be fine. I'm sure they'll make sure he completes those classes in 90 days, and it'll all be swept under the rug.
Mm-hmm.
But still, very, very, very lucky that he did not have to go to jail.
Yeah, hopefully he doesn't go back to jail. As I'm reading things that we were posted in the chat room about news, possible news. I'll look into that story, guys, and... Silence as
yes.
I read my post. Yes, as we read your post. I read the other things too. I'll check into that little post and we'll get back to it.
Yeah, we'll put that one on the back burner and we'll let you know. You may hear about it on WTR Sunday night, so just stay tuned. But the last story that we're going to talk about before we head to break, and it ties into TNA, is Taz. There is a rumor going around that Taz may be on his way back to WWE, or he may not. For those of you that had not heard, his contract is set to expire. His last technical appearance that he has to fulfill is when TNA is in Vegas next week.
Saturday.
Saturday, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I keep thinking it's next week. Anyway,
it's for the next 2 weeks of taping, so you're on the right track.
No. Anyway, when they're in Vegas, that's Taz's technical last scheduled appearance. That's the last one he has to fulfill. And then he is, by all accounts, a free agent. There is no news as far as him re-signing with TNA. I would say they would probably be eager to keep him, seeing as they just let Todd Kinley go.
You would think. This tweet was, a couple big wrestler shows in my hometown of Brooklyn, #RedHook near Barclay. So that got everyone going, huh, what? Is he coming back? PWInsider.com, Pete Windsor, as some folks around our radio airwaves used to call it, Pete Windsor. they're the ones reporting it, and he could possibly be done with the company. So, we'll see.
So, that's definitely something to keep an eye on. If Taz goes back, it would be interesting to see what role he would fulfill, seeing as they're really not looking for any commentators right now, but you never know.
You never know. And I have one other piece of news.
Okay.
Another piece of TNA news. Do you remember a guy named Big?
Big?
From Tough Enough. The guy whose house was in the first season of Tough Enough.
No, I'm afraid I don't.
All right. People who used to watch the original Tough Enough should know who Big is. He worked for WWE. His name is John Gabrick. He's now been named the Executive Vice President of Television Production for TNA Entertainment, effective immediately. He's an accomplished production executive who joins TNA from World Wrestling Entertainment, where he served as Vice President of Talent Production. The announcement was made today by President Dixie Carter, to whom he will report to in his new role. He will oversee management and production of TNA Entertainment Television, including live Impact Wrestling, marketing and advertising production, special projects, and digital assets.
Very interesting.
As TNA evolves, John's award-winning creative vision and production expertise, coupled with his sports and entertainment industry business savvy, makes him the perfect person to push us in a new direction, said Dixie Carter. He is gifted and an innovative storyteller, and we are thrilled to have him on board. So, yeah, he was with WWE for 13 years before he was let go earlier, a few weeks ago.
Interesting.
So it's a good move for him. He's a good production guy, and he will be an asset to the company.
Yeah, and look forward to see what he does with the production.
So that's news. It was a slow news week, folks. So
yeah, sorry, it was a slow news week, but there were a couple big items that we needed to talk about. And on that note, we're going to kick it to our first break because, well, we've got some big stuff to talk about in TNA Impact that happened tonight. So when we come back, we're going to be talking all about that. But until then, stay tuned. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
On those Saturdays when kids go out and play, yo, I was up in my room, I let the stereo play. Was it faded, not jaded, just a kid with a pad and a pen and a big imagination. All this I see, I find, push the envelope to the line. Make it, break it, take it, until I'm over.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW, it's pimping.
Who the hell is this Matt Goldberg guy? Why does he get ads on our show? Jesus. Matt Goldberg. Who are you? Matt Goldberg. Sheesh. Anyway.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a good thing or something. Techno gangbang. Maybe the world needs to end. End of the world gangbang style.
Weird. Wow. Becomes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I don't... I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art, or is this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck?
It just gets weirder and weirder. Oh, I thought the people were going to be showing at the party. Oh, you've done the battle over here. That's a horseshoe, Rob. That's a horseshoe. Not the pelvic thrust. What, Mr. Sulu in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I don't hurt you.
Got 800 million. Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I got to... You gotta play something else, Rock. I'm wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
By the way, Tim Stein says, click the Google ads. I didn't. Tim said it, so. Must be something you should do. Not now, like later. But click them.
Hey, what's up? This is Kaz. I'm great. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
A country! Hey, hey, can't you see?
I'm a rockin' southern girl running wild and free.
Hey, I'm walking through the door.
High-class style country to the core.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane. Head over to Mem Lane promo for all your memorabilia needs. Just curious, is there anything else you want to pimp before we start in?
I haven't pimped a thing. I don't know what you're talking about.
Uh-huh, sure. Those were voiceovers in the break when he yelled at Matt Goldberg and plugged the Google ads. Please don't click them until after the show or open them at any time.
I don't know what you're talking about. I have not said a damn word. I've been drinking water the entire break.
Then you must be working on your ventrals, Quistax. That's all I gotta say.
I must be. Must be.
Must be. But anyway, we're going to go ahead and we're going to dive right into tonight's Impact Review, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at TNAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans. If you're listening to us over there tonight, hey, hello, welcome. Great to have you here.
You know, every time you say hey, hello, I wave my hand towards nothing, like the Skype window. That's about it.
Yeah, I do that too.
All right, at least I'm not the only one. Hi, everybody. What's going on? Impact time.
Yes. RackRadioShow.com, WTR Productions, and PsychWordDesigns.com don't get plugged to the end of the show. You know better, King Kittens.
Yeah, I know, right?
He shameless shills. But anyway, we open the show tonight with a very familiar harpsichord sound echoing through the arena. The Mafia is obviously in the house, and Sting walks out and makes a beeline to the ring. He lets out a howl, and then, well, he kind of calms the crowd down just a little bit. He starts out by addressing Bully, saying that, "I told you so about the Mafia." He promises that the Mafia will rise and that there is more destruction to come. Sting then goes on to say that when he was forming the Mafia, he had to go back to the roots. He had to go back to the beginning. And that's why he went back to Kurt Angle. Angle then gets his own entrance complete with Mafia music. Taz makes fun of it and gripes about it the whole time, which was hilarious. Both Sting and Angle are all smiles as they embrace, and then Angle takes the mic. He goes on to tell us that we're looking at the founding members of the main event Mafia. He explains the concept to us, basically saying that the Mafia was originally four former World Heavyweight Champions only, and that they ran TNA. They took what they wanted when they wanted. They sought the power, and they ran this place. But unfortunately, it seems that, somebody else has now taken their spot, and it seems to have been filled by aces and eights. Angle lists the sins of the aces against both Sting and himself, saying that Sting will never have another world heavyweight title shot because of the aces and eights. Never mind, Sting agreed to it. Anyway.
It was his idea, or he agreed to it, yeah.
He agreed to it, just putting that out. And Angle also listed their various sins against him as well, which I was not able to write down because they didn't, I guess, seem as important.
They weren't as important, but...
Anyway, yeah, moving on. Angle then tells us that Real Family will always be there, and we are looking at the new and improved Main Event Mafia. They're better because, well, they're both Hall of Famers, and that this time they have a purpose. They have a
purpose?
Point.
A purpose?
A purpose. They have two goals.
What are these two goals?
One, they're going to destroy the aces and eights, and two, they are going to cost Bully his world heavyweight title at any cost. And then they both promise that tonight we will meet the next member of the family.
Ooh. I wonder who it's going to be.
Wonder. Who could it be? Because, well, you've got the two founding members, but... none of the other founding members are available, so, they're going to have to look from within the company. Interesting. This is a nice opening segment. Good way to establish the Mafia and their dominance. Angle could not have picked in any more of a gangster suit than what he had.
Yeah, it was typical Mafia suit tonight for Kurt.
Although I do like seeing men in suits, especially if they can dress themselves. Just pointing that out in case anybody cares, which they probably don't. Moving on, because that's just, like, awkward. We get a promo for Ultimate X, or I should say for the X Division title tonight, and the X Division, or I should say, well... Ultimate X, that is coming in Louisville, if I can get my words right. I'm so sorry tonight. My brain is going like 50 billion directions. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I have a lot on my brain. Anyway, we see Chris Sabin in the back. He is grabbed by Bully and the crew, and they pin him in the back of a semi-tractor trailer. But, well, they don't want to beat him up. They just want to sort of, push him luck. Good luck tonight, Sabin. We hope you win. We want you to win. And, oh yeah, by the way, we're also going to encourage you to do the right thing. Which is, of course, keep the X belt and not challenge for Bully's title.
It seems like this Bully is scared.
He does, doesn't he? He seems just a little, well, unsure of things.
Because if you remember, who's the one guy to kick out of the most devastating finisher, tag team finisher of all time?
Sabin.
Mm-hmm. The only man to kick out of the 3D.
And, well, Bully doesn't have the benefit of D-Von if Sabin challenges, so... Somebody seems a little concerned, but Bully goes on to tell Sabin that he wants nothing to do with him since Bully is a bad person who does bad things. When they feel that their message has gone through, they send Sabin on his way, telling him to, take care, watch your knees.
Yeah, watch him. Little pep talk, make sure he's healthy.
Make sure he's healthy, and, well, then they feel that they got their point across, that Sabin is going to, in fact, do the right thing.
Will he? That's the big question. We'll find out.
Will he get the opportunity?
That's even the bigger question. Will he even get the chance?
TNA sort of spoiled it, but we're not going to.
We're not going to, because up next...
Up next, we see the big O, Adam something or another, backstage. They could do a nice package for him for gut check.
Alright, so... Alright, I'm going to make the one comment here. So they do this whole big video package on the big O, and it's like... WWE's passed on him, and, well, the only reason why people actually know who big O is because of Zack Ryder. That's it. And we'll get into his match later, which I wasn't impressed with. But, yeah, the only reason people know him is because of Zack Ryder. So, anyway.
Pretty much, because when he came on screen, I was like, oh, look, it's the Big O!
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sorry, dude. After this, though, we get a very, very, very exciting X Division title match with Suicide, Sabin, and Kenny King taking on each other for the belt. This was a nice long match. Nice spots for all three men. Well done. Have to applaud it. And, well, Suicide seemed very sure of himself tonight, didn't he?
He did.
For those of you that don't know, we have a new X Division champion in one Suicide.
Ooh, and it was an interesting way he picked up the win, though.
It was.
He came in, he did, I believe it was a roll-up of some sort. He was able to sneak in and get the roll-up and pin one Kenny King. And everyone was kind of shocked that Suicide is your new X Division champion.
Right, but what was even more shocking was after the match, Hogan's music plays. He comes out and he's got, well, a hurt individual with him. We come to find out he's got the real Suicide with him and accuses this.
Wait. The real Suicide? I thought the guy in the ring was Suicide.
Well, apparently we have a faux Suicide and we have a real Suicide, and the real Suicide is TJ, and he sort of got beat up and his suit was stolen from him by the Suicide in the ring.
Oh, back to being confuzzled.
Back to being confuzzled, so the plot thickens. Hogan demands to know who the Suicide in the ring is, but instead of unmasking, the masked Suicide takes his belt and goes home.
He walked through the crowd and went home, and he didn't want to, you know, say who he was. By the way, Hulk Hogan, meet TJ Perkins for the first time ever.
Clearly. But for the most part, there was mass confusion and anger on everyone's part, and, well, that left the question with everybody, who was that masked man?
# who is Suicide?
Who is Suicide? So, we have a mystery.
Mm-hmm. Confuzzled.
Somebody calls
I'm confuzzled. Confuzzled. Confuzzledness. Confusion?
Somebody calls Scooby and the gang.
Scooby Dooby Doo. Anyway. Anyway, move on.
I'm sorry, I was watching this weird commercial with a shirt on a therapist chair. It's just not... It's for Clorox. I don't understand. Sorry. Got confused.
It's not confused, it's confuzzled.
Confuzzled, sorry. I'm confuzzled. And so is Hulk Hogan. He's backstage and he's angry. He says that the mystery man has till the end of the night to reveal himself, or he is stripped of the title.
Ooh.
So Hogan is laying down the law. We then get a promo for the bastard child of Chris Jericho and Axl Rose. I mean, Ryan Howell.
You know, Man Mountain Rock, who's lost some weight.
Pretty much. After this, though, we get the gut check match between Ryan Howell and Big O, where Ryan Howell came out and had a very interesting entrance.
Yeah, this is what made me think of Man Mountain Rock. He playing the guitar.
Well, it's like he was half playing it and half faking it, and it was clearly Hendrix. Dude, if you're gonna rip off Jimi Hendrix and you're gonna fake it, at least do a decent job of faking it.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's one of the most recognizable songs. You know, at least pick a different guitar riff that you're gonna rip off. Just pointing that out. Because it's like he stopped playing halfway through it.
Yeah, he did. By the way, Stone asked, what name did they give Big O? They called him by his real name, Adam O something. I don't remember what his last name is.
Yeah, I just remember his first name is Adam. I honestly couldn't tell you what they used as the last name.
Just call him Big O. It's easier that way.
Yeah, it's just easier. Everybody knows him as the Big O. That just makes more sense.
Yeah.
But this match was, well,
this match
a
was
match.
A match. This was, all right. A little soapbox time.
Okay.
I'm giving a soapbox a little bit. TNA... TNA loves this gut check, and it's been an interesting development. Interesting creation, putting guys without a lot of television experience on television. And sometimes it's been good, and sometimes it's, well, led to people who shouldn't be on TV yet being on TV, and you have people in the crowd who really don't know who these people are. No one knew who Big O was, no one knew who Ryan Howe was, despite both being popular for different reasons.
Right.
Ryan Howe for Tough Enough fame, and Big O for being Zack Ryder's friend. They're also very, very green, and when you put green guys in the ring like that, on national television, it's not the best thing. You can tell these both of these guys aren't ready for any sort of contract, any sort of TV time. Big O needs to learn how to sell. He's really stiff. He needs to work on his facial expressions when trying to sell. He has a lot of work to do. He has the look, but they also have a lot of people that look like that. Mainly Rob Terry. He looks like a very green Rob Terry at this point. Ryan Howe, join the three-man band. I'm sorry.
Upgrade them another megabyte.
So it makes it the four-man band. Whatever.
Wait, it just dawned on me. Is Ryan Howe Skidmark?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's Skidmark.
Sorry. Took me a second. Sorry.
Yeah, that's who it is. So, yeah, this match should never be on TV. If you're trying to be number two, you should not put this type of match on your television. If you want to do gut check, have them wrestle in a highlight package, not an actual match, if they're really green like this.
These are the kind of guys that really need that, should have been brought along when they were still having them work the actual members of the TNA roster.
Yeah.
Because they could have been shown a little bit better with an expert hand guiding them, so to speak. Because you put two green guys together and it's just not okay by any stretch of the imagination. They tried. They tried so hard. And A for effort on their part. But honestly, it was just really not good by any stretch of the imagination. So they need help.
Yeah, so that's more than enough we should talk about. Anyway, we're talking about green guys, you know, the Green Ranger, Jason David Frank.
What about Jason David Frank?
Oh, segueing out of that.
By the way, for anybody out there, apparently there's a Green Ranger morpher being released that Omega wants badly. So click on the donate button and donate to wildtalkradio.com so he can buy this morpher thing.
Go to his website, tjomega.org, and support him that way. And there's apparently, I just saw the thing, that's why I brought it up, because it's now posted on my Facebook page. Someone posted it. So, yeah.
He was crying to me before the show about it, actually. So, poor Omega. We're trying to raise you money, dude, so you can buy it. That's the best I got.
Best advice, Omega. Best advice for Omega, do some more videos.
Don't kill him.
Well, if he wants it, he should do more videos. Over at youtube.com/TJOmega. See what I did
there?
You're
so heartless.
I'm shilling his stuff so people go there and he gets to make some money.
Okay.
Go subscribe to his channel. Get some more hits.
Yes. Backstage, getting back to the Impact Review, backstage we have Angle and Sting. They're going into a room, and they both agree that this go-round with the Mafia will be better than the next, or the last go-round.
Mm-hmm. We then have more backstage stuff, Lindsay.
We do.
We have TJ Perkins in his locker room. You have Bully Ray walking in and mocks Perkins for all that little stuff he does in the ring. But he's his friend. Did you know that? He's his friend. By the way, I think this is the first time Bully Ray met TJ Perkins. Just pointing that out. Bully Ray.
I think this is the first time any of them met TJ Perkins. Mm-hmm. I kind of have that feeling.
Bully Ray asked if suicide was put up to this by Sting or Kurt. He says no involvement. Ray asked. Perkins stood up and said, he got jumped. It was very, very real, he said. He was very... Ray was a lot of nervousness around Bully Ray at this point about the main event Mafia playing mind games with him. Slapped Perkins on the back and told him he can leave now. Bully Ray is trying to be a bully, and at the same time, he's really scared.
He's a nervous bully, but he's also an insincere asshole, which is amazing.
This too.
Tonight was kind of a really good night for Bully, because he's trying to be, like, sincere, and he's just coming off completely condescending, and at the same time, he's so nervous, because he has this great freak-out moment with TJ Perkins, where he's like, Main Event Mafia, and they're head games, they're screwing with me, and I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
So, before I kill you, I want to know, are they in on it? Exactly. It's just, it was this really, really fantastic moment with Bully, and it's just, I kind of hearted these promos just a little bit.
They were good stuff.
Because this wasn't the only one.
Bully was on point tonight.
He really, really was.
But now, it is time for the Knockout Championship. Mickie James takes on Velvet Sky. And this was the great moment of the night.
Oh, this was a fantastic match. Before the match, we get a promo by Mickie, which is just money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mickie basically does the heel thing, gives Velvet one last chance to walk away, citing that, well, she doesn't want to see her friend get hurt. And the crowd doesn't want to see her friend get hurt. Especially since, you know, Velvet is jealous of Mickie.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is, they used to be friends, and now they're not friends because Mickie has the title and Velvet doesn't. So Velvet's no longer her friend.
And Mickie tells Velvet to stop being a $3 stubborn pack mule and walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fantastic.
Mickie was awesome. By the way, Taz tonight, hardcore country singing the song.
I know!
Fantastic!
And clip! After Mickie finished her spiel, this led to Velvet attacking her from behind, and the match was on. It was really great. It was really intense. There was a lot of back and forth. They went outside the ring. They were inside the ring. There's a point where Mickie stopped in the middle of the match to fix her hair, which was hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Great stuff. Great stuff in this match.
But in the end, Mickie James comes out victorious by forcing Velvet to tap out. And this is where it got a little interesting, because, well, it seems somebody watched Payback in TNA, because after the match, we have Velvet get interviewed by Christy Hemme, and Velvet stands there and cries as a "You Tapped Out" chant rings through the arena.
Wrestling fans are cruel fans, just pointing that out.
We really are a cruel bunch. But Velvet is standing there crying, saying she thought her knee was better, but clearly it wasn't, and she's so disappointed, and she's heartbroken, and then she limps away. To which, I love Velvet Sky to death, but I have to say, Caitlyn did it better.
And that's not saying much.
So, it was kind of that deja vu moment where it's like, somebody watched the last WWE pay-per-view, didn't they?
Must have.
Then again, WWE has been stepping up their game with the Divas because of the Knockout, so I guess it's a cycle.
It's a wash, basically.
It's a wash. After this, we have the Suicide Shenanigans recapped one more time, and then we see Bobby Roode. He's headed to the ring, and he walks between Sting and Angle. They all give each other kind of an interesting look before Bobby walks away.
Roode just smiled.
So, well, could Bobby Roode be in Main Event Mafia?
Quite possibly. We then go backstage. Hulk Hogan is talking to the referee, Stifler, if he knows anything different about Suicide tonight. Stifler said everything looked normal in the ring. Then Hogan asked him, did you notice his mannerisms? Can you give me any hints? Can you tell me who he is? But then, well, Stifler had no answers. Hogan then told him to find the imposter and tell him that he wants to meet him later in the night. We then have our next contest. It is Magnus versus Bobby Roode in a Bound for Glory series matchup with points on the line. Again, when we talk about points, there's a lot of different rules. You go to impactwrestling.com, you can get the full details of the scoreboard, how to earn points. This was a pretty good match.
This really was. It wasn't half bad. It wasn't the most exciting thing I've ever seen, but at the same time, it was decent.
Mm-hmm.
I think they could work a more traditional style with each other.
They could.
So they blended a little bit better together, and well, it was very interesting. That's the best way I can honestly describe it. I'm not the best of wrestling as far as calling a good match from a bad match. I know what I enjoy and what I don't. So, but to me, this was a good match.
Good match.
Very enjoyable.
Magnus with the win.
Yes, in an upset, Magnus wins.
And he earned 7 points.
So go him.
Mm-hmm. We then see James Storm and Gunnar walking to the ring with the belts. But we have backstage, we have the Aces and Eights barge into Chavo, into the locker room, finding Chavo, Robbie E, and Jesse Gatters hanging about. Chavo was ready to fight while Jesse and Robbie just still being confuzzled by the presence of the Aces and Eights. Bully Ray demanded to know if either of them knew who Suicide was, and Bully basically asked, you know, Chavo, are you Suicide? And Chavo questioned him, and Bully Ray's response was, do you understand English?
I know. It was wrong to laugh, but I laughed.
And then, you know, we have Bully Ray demand to know if either of them Suicide, which they all not. On the way out, Ray told Goddard to, you know, lay off the carbs.
It's like, what the hell?
Just lay off the carbs, man. Lay off the carbs. Go ahead.
Because, you know, when you're looking at Jesse Goddard and Robbie E, you totally need to tell them to lay off the carbs. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. But this was just more Bully being on point.
Mm-hmm. By the way, 4-3 Phillies at the moment.
Rocky's crossing his fingers. Don't send in the bad relief pitcher.
Pitchers. Anyway. Bad bullpen. Anyway. Baseball is on, so confuzzleness.
It's a bad bullpen. Bad, bad, bad bullpen.
Worst ERA. Worst ERA in the league. Anyway. James Durham Gunner in the ring. They talked, you know, they said you don't always have to get along with your partner, but, well, if you can, even better. Storm said, some people think that tag team wrestling is science, but they don't look like scientists. Storm said, then said, this beer drinking verbal team before Gunner, noting Gunner had his back. Then we got an interesting soundbite. The team of Robbie E and Jesse Goddard, along with Terror, who made her return tonight. Robbie said Storm and Gunner really think they're tough, but it's too late for them because they are the future of tag team wrestling. Robbie called themselves the Bromance before Storm asked if they're a thing. And he was not saying they were Bromance, they were Bromance or something. He corrected them, but said, but they're the Bromance. And Storm said he might be a little drunk, but he keeps hearing Bromance and talk about their bromance, and that they have a hot chick, Jesse said, which, you know, is Tara. Storm then did a line about Butterface, and that made certain people angry. Storm said he sized up Tara, then Gunner smashed Goddard's when he tried to hit Storm. Tara and Robbie helped Goddard out of the ring, as Storm noted he didn't have to knock out Jesse, but sorry about your damn luck. The tag team champ stood tall in the ring, and Jesse sold not being sure what city he was actually in tonight.
Yeah, this segment was... Yeah, the best thing about it was honestly Tara and her outfit, which I kind of want. Because she looked incredible tonight.
Great outfit.
But this was a fan... She looked... Go back and watch it. She looked fantastic. Mm-hmm. But other than that... Yeah, this segment kind of fell a little flat.
It sort of did, bro.
It really kind of did. It was fine with Storm and Gunner out there. I had kind of laughed with Storm saying you don't always have to like your tag team partner, mm-hmm. because I kind of have to wonder if that wasn't a little shot at Chris Harris. Just a little one. Because if you know the story of AMW, they didn't necessarily like each other in the beginning. But anyway, so that was a nice shot. And then you had Robbie E and Jesse Goddard come out, and it was just like they're completely random. And it kind of made me die a little inside because I was sitting there going, no offense to them, but really, that's the best tag team you have?
Well, when Bad Influence is in the tournament, yeah.
That just, like, kills my heart so much that the only challengers for Storm and Gunner are Jesse Godders and Robbie E., and then they're a haberdashed, slapped-together tag team.
They're the bromance.
Yeah, no. TNA, I kind of got to shake my finger at you and go, no, 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 go find somebody else. Please. Although, we'll take more Tara. We will happily take more Tara. Please put her into the knockouts division again, but yeah, this segment, you know it's bad when the crowd is chanting boring during the segment.
Yeah.
And it's loud enough that the cameras can clearly pick it up.
Yeah.
If that's the best reaction you get from the crowd, that's not good.
No, that's not good. We have the roving cameraman backstage asking Sting, Kurt Angle what they think about the suicide situation, and, well, Sting changed the subject about to their Mafia reveal and said, it's a good night, and, well, they might actually go find this suicide guy and have a little chat.
Interesting. But up next, we have the main event of the show, which is Mr. Anderson. Taking on Samoa Joe, and this was actually a really good match. There was a lot of back and forth, there was a lot of grappling, a lot of brawling. The two were very involved, and ultimately we saw Samoa Joe come out on top with a submission hold, so he gets the big 10 points.
10 points, big 10.
Big 10. But, well, it wasn't necessarily the victory that was the interesting point of this match. During the match, we had, of course, the usual Aces and Eights run in, where they attempted to help their brother-in-arms, Mr. Anderson, defeat Samoa Joe, but Joe kind of got some help of his own.
In the form of Kurt Angle and Sting.
That's right, the main event Mafia, they come down, they help Samoa Joe, and they help him pick up the victory against Mr. Anderson. So that begs the question, is Joe in the Mafia, or are they just being nice?
By the sounds of it, it looks like Joe's a part of it.
Yeah, the three celebrate in the ring together with Joe flashing the main event Mafia gang sign. And then, of course, we get the confirmation backstage that Joe is officially in the main event Mafia. So they're stepping up their game and getting the Killa himself, Samoa Joe.
They Sting handed Joe a suit, which he accepted, and Joe said he's back in business. Then Angle and Sting said, you know, Joe will like the way he looks. They guarantee it.
Amazing. I like how, TNA gives out clothes. Like, Aces and Eights gives out leather vests. The Main Event Mafia gives out suits. I need to work for TNA. I can get a whole new wardrobe. This would be fantastic.
Unless you get Al Snow's wardrobe, and you don't want that.
I could do something with Al Snow's wardrobe. It's called Burn It.
You can get the sweaters.
I could burn the sweaters. That's how I get the sweaters!
There you go.
Somebody help me with my resume. I'm gonna get my hand on those sweaters. That was your main event match of the evening, but that was not your main event segment. No, no, no. To close the show, we have Hulk Hogan, and he's out in the ring. He says tonight was supposed to be all about the X Division, you know, even though it kind of felt like Aces and Eights in the main event Mafia. But because of the fake suicide, they instead have a mystery on their hands. The mystery machine was called in, and, well, he couldn't figure it out, so instead, Hogan calls out suicide. Hogan then proceeds to talk about the past a little bit. It was too much for me to write down. Sorry. And then he demands that Suicide take off the mask. Suicide refuses. Hogan asks if that's his final answer, and Suicide nods yes. Before they can go any further, they're interrupted by one Bully Ray.
Before you continue on, he quoted Shiki Baby, but noting that it's not about cheating, brother. So we got a Shiki Baby reference. on the
Our
show.
Cheek!
Cheeky baby.
To which I'm sure we will get a F the Hulk Hogan from Iron Cheek at some point when he finds out.
I'm just reading the report I got. They didn't really quote it. Cheeky baby, but noting it's not about cheating, brother. That's what it says. That's what it said.
Yeah, like I said, it was too fast for me to write down because I actually do take notes during the show, and it was too quick and there was too much, so I kind of had to graze over it. But yes, we got an Iron Cheek reference from Hulk Hogan, which I cannot wait for the response from the Iron Sheik. Should be interesting. But headed back into the recap, Bully says that for the first time in a long time, his interest and Hulk Hogan's interest are aligned. Bully then demands that Suicide take off the mask. Suicide, of course, refuses. And Bully then goes on to say, it doesn't matter about the mask. It matters what Suicide does with the shot. Bully then attempts to put the fear of God into Suicide and tells him to walk away, that he's a bad man that does bad things, and that tonight they already put the fear of God, or he should say the fear of him, into Chris Sabin, and that Suicide should walk away with his tail between his legs. Hogan then says he's sick of all the crap and he wants the hood off now, brother. Suicide then takes a microphone in his hand, and again, too much for me to write down, but he talks about darkness and doing the easy thing or doing the right thing, to which he holds up the X Division title. Suicide then asks Bully if he knows who he is. Bully says no, and Suicide says, well, he should, because he's beaten him before. The mask then comes off and Austin Aries is revealed as the fake Suicide and the new X Division champion. He says that he is the man that created Option C. He will cash in the X Division title for the shot at Bully Ray and he will win. And that's how you close your show tonight.
Nice conclusion. Nice twist. Austin Aries getting the shot. Not so, for Sabin. A lot of the Sabin fans are going to be like, huh?
Yeah, it's really sad that Chris Sabin lost the X belt, but if we were actually sitting here talking about it the other night, because we were talking about, well, somebody's got to challenge Bully before Bound for Glory for the title. And if you think about it, all your contenders are in the Bound for Glory series, so who do you technically have challenge? Lay the challenge down. And we couldn't think of a damn person. Sadly. So, well done TNA for fooling everybody. And what's interesting about tonight is they actually spoiled the X Division title change tonight.
They did.
To tease the fact that the person that won it was not in fact the person that actually won it. So, it kind of begs the question, which maybe we'll talk about next week, of Which is better, spoiling the title match or having the mystery of who won the title?
It's an interesting question. We'll get into it more next week.
We will, but now we're going to take our second and final break of the evening. And when we come back, we're going to be doing Tweet of the Week, Question of the Night, and a little rant, and of course, our Ask the Rack segment. So get your questions ready, because that's coming up next. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Suicide, count the lives, take the pain from all who just can't see the light. Die, Savior, he can save you. You'll take an air to be the one they crucify. Suicide, count the lives.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is pwmania.com.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA Wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA Wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
And now, haiku time. With René Dassault, Diane, some dumb was he get.
Cheap Heat Radio. Not at all ripped off. Truly, we would never lie.
Opinions mixed. Many arguments will be had, but later is a slot.
Wild Talk Radio. Home of Cheap Heat Radio. Inside Braden's Belly.
Views expressed within, only those of Guy Talking. Standard boilerplate.
Got an indie show? Promote it on our show, now. Many more people.
Wrestling gets discussed. Pop culture references made. Cheap Heat Radio.
Cheap Heat Radio. Our thoughts may not be true, but your sports team does suck.
We need ad ideas. Haikus are running their course. Next time the hosts rap.
Cheap Heat Radio. Join us at 8:30 time. 'Cause what else is on?
Click the Google ads because Tim Stein said you should and all that fun, happy stuff. By the way.
Really?
By the way. Are we on the list, Matt? Did we get on the list? Just saying.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns.
After 7 long years. Finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moment.
Oh my God! Oh my God! Oh my God! Don't do this!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sweet, we made the list. Sweet!
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
See, I just can't stand!
And you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
You're special, you do. I can see it in your eyes. I can see it when you laugh at me. Look down on me and walk around on me. Just one.
Wow, this song takes me back. Anyway, welcome back to what? The Rack on WildTalkRadio.com. First brought to you by your friends over at MemLanePromo.com. Check out all... God, what is wrong with me? Can't talk. Anyway, MemLanePromo.com. Memorabilia needs. Go. Now. Later. Go. Buy stuff.
That's why I always say you're brought to you by PWMania.com and MemLanePromo.com.
Yes. And TNAsylum.com.
Yes.
Sorry, y'all. I don't know where my brain is tonight. Seriously don't.
I know where your mind is.
revolving around Taker's head.
Exactly. By the way, this just in, Wrestling Figure Wednesday moves to Wednesday and Friday starting next week.
Ooh, fancy.
Ooh.
So on that note, since, well, we follow a man who produces Wrestling Figure Wednesdays and Fridays, maybe we should go to Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Anyway, Tweet of the Week time. Presented by Wrestling Figure Wednesday, which moves to Wednesdays and Fridays starting next week. Check them out at YouTube.com/MBG1211.
You're welcome, Matt. So who wants to go first?
You can go first. That's fine.
All right. Big E Langston, 2 wins against the current world heavyweight champion in very recent memory and no mention of a title shot? I'm burning my bra in protest. I heard Big E Langston. AJ, just passed a Converse outlet store and I don't have time to go in it. I just died a little inside. I died. Ed Scott M. Fishman. Breaking news. Mark Henry expected to retire the Salmon Jacket tonight on hashtag Raw. Check out the hashtag WWE app for details. Hashtag Swerve.
That's all you got?
That's all I got.
Dolph Ziggler, S&M by Rihanna plays All Babe. They're playing our song. Me to every girl ever. Just kidding. At WWE AJ Lee. She replies back, you know, our song is Cisco's thong song. That's just kind of special. He replies...
Is it wrong that I automatically went, dude, they should totally play Cards Against Humanity with us?
By the way, if you never play Cards Against Humanity with us, check us out Saturdays around 10 p.m. Eastern Time. We have lots of fun. Ziggler replies, yet at the end of the night, I'm the only one wearing one. Just kidding. Jim Ross, thank goodness the toilet still worked during this power outage. Discovered a new skill. I can make a drink in the dark. Things to do. Build a storm shelter. Top priority. Invest in candles. Buy a generator. Stock up on batteries. Quit bitching. Find my smile. From Jim Ross.
Wow, that's amazing.
AJ Lee, I'm happy you all love my Seth Rollins impression tonight. Hashtag finally got into the Shield's pants.
Yes!
Dolph Ziggler replies to a fan. They said, how many times do you visit McDonald's a month? Whenever McRib is in town, or my Aunt Flo. CM Punk replies to a question. Any advice for trying to get noticed by a specific diva? His reply, 1-800, fella. Big E Langston, one day I'll tell my grandbabies a classic fishtail. A cat fishtail, my greatest catch and release. They call her at Caitlin WWE.
Ouch.
Caitlin, I can't shake the reoccurring nightmare of Big E Langston violently twerking to my entrance music. Make it stop. Big E, yo, Caitlin WWE, that was Titus. We don't all look alike. Clearly someone wasn't paying attention in the sensitivity and tolerance meeting. And AJ Lee, proud to be included in my second pay-per-view poster. This one also includes a terrified Daniel Bryan, sensing a theme.
Poor AJ.
So there you go. tweet of the week.
All right, so now we are going to go into the user, or I should say user, listener portion of the evening. User. And I'm a little terrified. Sorry. Again, thinking of work. Sorry.
Terrified or terrified?
Terrified or terrified?
Yeah.
Well, if you're talking about Terrified by Matt Goldberg, then absolutely.
Anyway, there's your final plug for the night, Matt. All right. Soda.
Anyway, we're going into the listener portion of the evening, which is Ask the Rack. And by the way, I apologize to everybody for the flubs this evening. I'm usually not this bad, although pretty close, but usually not as bad as this. Right. So I am so sorry.
We're just going to go through these randomly because I don't feel like going in order. We'll start off with this one. If you could change three things about WWE, what would those things be? This came from Stone Ambrose.
The Divas title, I would change it back to the women's title. The Divas division, I would get better wrestlers in there. And I would not have the Shield jobbing to people.
I agree with the Shield not jobbing to people that often, especially in six-man tag matches.
What would you do?
I'm still in that one as one. When you start your network, do a reality show about the day in the life of a certain person or people. Just show the behind-the-scenes aspects. That's what I want to see. So that's number two. And a third thing. Stop firing writers.
Not necessarily stop firing them, but for the love of God, treat your writers better.
That works too.
Those poor people. By the way, a reality show. Triple H, Hunter, and The Undertaker. Or I should say Triple H, Shawn, and The Undertaker all in one house.
Yes. Anyway.
Yes. We get to see shenanigans unfold. It shall be amazing.
Yes. In our opinion, who is the greatest women's wrestler of all time? I'm going to say Trish Stratus.
I got to go with Trish as well, although Ivory or Jacqueline are in very close second.
You can go with the great technical wrestlers, but as an overall package, Trish Stratus was one of the best I've seen. And you can go back to Fabulous Moolah and all the other people you want to talk about. To me, Trish was one of the top of all time. She had all the characteristics for a great female wrestler.
Yeah, Trish really, I know Moolah and I know May, and they all helped to define an era, but Trish really did help to define the modern era and sort of bring back women's wrestling to WWE and make it current and make it enjoyable again and make the girls badass and take them from really the Powderpuff Divas back to more wrestlers, and because of that you got to see the girls shine more, and it wasn't just Trish and Lita, it was all the girls, because if you think about the quote unquote golden era, it really was, they had quite a number of really talented women there, and it's really very saddening that you look at the women's division now versus the women's division then, and it's like, why can't the girls be like that? Why do they have to do things like the Total Divas show? Because you have, because I'm sorry, I do. I'm kind of against that show, but that's another topic for another day. But why can't the girls be badass and kick some butt and take names and still be pretty about it? Why can't they?
Good point.
And I think you're starting to see that come about again with AJ and Caitlyn. And they're kind of, at least in WWE standards, being compared to Trish and Lita.
Yeah, Matt mentioned Lita in the chat room, yeah. I would agree, she's up there.
And I don't know quite about Lita. I'm kind of on the fence about her. I enjoyed her, but just overall,
everyone's enjoyed Lita.
Brum-ching. And there's your leader joke for the night. But she doesn't rank as high on the list for me as Trish does. There's something about Trish that she just stands out.
Yes. Apparently Stone Ambrose wants us to ship him some pancakes. Not on our budget. Sorry.
They would be moldy by the time they got to you, but I can send you a picture of pancakes.
If that's what you want, if you really want that, we can talk about it. He also asks, how much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood?
42.
Oh, God, we have a caller coming into the show. Oh, God, we have a caller on the show.
That's my stick.
This isn't Steve from Kansas. This sounds like an Omega.
And he hung up already.
You pussy! Call back in!
I stole his shtick. Apparently making the lead a joke. Alright, yeah. That is Omega shtick. So.
I thought Lita was, you know...
I thought Lita was, you know... Could go around...
User-friendly. She could go around the entire network.
Uh-huh.
I didn't realize she was just Omega's.
Apparently Omega likes Lita, so...
Alrighty then.
I'm just saying, Omega likes Lita, so... There you go. It's all about him. Anyway.
Well, you know what? It's my show, so it's all about me, so F off.
Yes, it is all about Lindsay, because when she calls dibs, nothing else matters.
It's my show!
She's pulling rank.
Damn right!
Any comments, sir?
You people know how to push my buttons too easily.
We weren't even trying.
We really weren't.
That's how easily.
So are you implying that you're easy?
Just like Lita.
When you're asking.
He's as easy as Lita.
Whoa. My legs are closed right now, thank you.
For the first time all night? Can I get back to these questions now?
Yes, please do.
This one we'll give to Omega. Who let the dogs out?
Haven't we been here before?
I'm just going by the questions on my sheet, so. I'm trying to get away with the easy ones first, and we'll get into the real serious ones. So, that one came from Kane Kittens.
Okay, do you want the actual, or do you want the horrible?
Well, it's up horrible. To you.
Oh, the horrible is Michael Vick let the dogs out.
Oh!
Now, the other one.
Well, the song is actually about ugly women at a nightclub.
Thank you for that.
So, it's whoever's in charge of the ugly people in town who let the dogs out.
Gotcha. Well, Kinkins, really? All right, we're going to skip that one because you're just, you know, using cards for questions. Come on, Al. Thought you knew better. We got one. If you were in either WWE or TNA, what would your wrestling name be? Lindsay?
Georgiana Kane.
Georgiana, why?
And it's not K-A-N-E, it's C-A-I-N-E.
Why that?
Because I like it.
Okay.
What would yours be?
Sir Rockin', of course. The greatest of all time. Yes, Jersey Girl, we got your question. We'll get to it. I got like 20-something questions here. I'm getting through them all. Omega, you going to chime in for that one, or no?
The Inferno.
Why?
It's what I name all my characters in WWE games.
Let's see. This one's specifically for Lindsay. Who is going to be the next one cursed with Beardgate? Or Hairgate? Stormy, Drew, or Dean?
True.
Let's see. Answer Jersey Girl's question. What diva or knockout would you love to see in a match? Are you talking about a fantasy match? So one diva and one knockout? Is that what you're asking? This is where we wait for the response in the live interactive chat room right here on wildtalkradio.com, the all-new wildtalkradio.com. All right, so we have to pick one diva and one knockout for a match. Lindsay, what's your scenario?
Mickey and AJ, the battle of the crazy.
God damn it, you stole mine.
Ha!
I gotta come up with a different one then. Battle of the crazy, AJ versus Tara. Mr. Omega?
AJ versus Gail Kim.
Are we sensing a theme?
Is there another diva to pick from here?
No. In our opinion, who is the greatest tag team of all time? Ooh, we have a debate about this one time, I think.
Yeah. So, expect to hear your answer in about 4 months.
No, we did tag team once. The one he was proposing with brothers.
That's the other one, yeah.
That's the other one. We did tag team. Lindsay, greatest tag team of all the times.
I'm really torn. Because I love Hell No. I absolutely adore Hell No. And I love The Shield, even though they're technically not a tag team. But I have to kind of go with America's Most Wanted. There was just something about them that, at least for me, that still makes them one of my favorites, if not my favorite.
That noise, Matt. That noise. Talking about. Anyway, continue.
So, yeah, I gotta go with AMW just because, and it's really sad that they came along in the era of TNA when it was still in its infancy, and I would really love to see what they would do with AMW now. Plus, they gave us one of the greatest TNA segments
of all times.
Of all time.
Apparently, I'm scaring the chat room, by the way.
Yeah, you're scaring Matt Goldberg. Stop it. Anyway, Omega, who's your favorite?
I'm sorry, Rock has descended into the Pillsbury Doughboy.
Well, he's getting felt up by TSA.
Oh, this is sad. That's the commercial that he's in there now for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my god, that's wrong when I saw that commercial. That's a whole new level of wrong. Anyway.
I'm going to go with left natty and right natty.
Well played, sir. Well played. Apparently they're married now together, so.
Oh. Huh. God damn it, Tyson Kidd.
Apparently they eloped months ago, apparently, by all accounts.
Which means the TV wedding is going to be the trashy TV wedding that we all expect it to be, and my soul will just die.
By the way, we had like a 45-minute conversation, like not 45-minute, like a half-hour conversation about their wedding last night, and then all of this broke about it. Awesome like that. As far as tag team goes,
Oh, should I give a serious answer?
Yeah, you can give a serious answer, because I'm still deciding.
Yeah, why not? No, for me, it's always going to be the Road Warriors. Legion of Doom, whichever one you want to call them. Because every time I think tag teams, that's still what I think of. I think, you know, the face paint, the big armor and the spikes and the mohawks. They just had that attitude and the teamwork together. Because neither one was good apart, but together, it's just... It was them. You know, they were the team.
Right. I'm going with DX because they're awesome. Hunter and Sean. Love them together. Great tag team. great on a stick, great in the ring.
They only won the belts once.
Only won the belts once. Doesn't mean that, you know, belts mean everything.
Wait, belts mean something?
No, they don't. They really, really don't. Let's see. Let's go back to this list of things. A train leaves a station going 60 miles an hour headed for Chicago. Another leaves going 30 miles an hour headed for Newport. After 5 hours, what is the unladen airspeed of the gnat caught in an F5 tornado in Kansas, and what government benefits will it not qualify for?
I like to point out my father submitted this question.
He did.
Thanks, Dad. Thanks so much. I love you for this. The answer is the gnat gets all the benefits. Because, you know, he has no economic standing. That's why he flies all the time. Ba-dum-ching.
There you go. Let's see.
What kind of gnat? Is it an African gnat or a European gnat?
I don't think it matters.
It does to me.
Well, then you can go ask. Or better yet, when I talk to him tomorrow, I will ask him. Because I'm going to have to yell at him for that.
We got a question, if we're still taking them, as we are taking them. When you guys record, you're on Skype, I believe. Are you on video or just voice? Voice.
Just voice.
Because that's how we roll.
Yeah, we haven't tried the video chat since the last time Spug tried on his little purple undies.
And
yeah,
we're never talking about that.
Also, to do multiple Skype chats or have multiple videos, because oftentimes there's like 5 or 6 of us on a call at max. Sometimes it costs money to do that, so it's just easier for us that we don't.
If you want a Skype chat, we do audio chat. That's how we Skype. Anyway.
Although we might be tempted to do a Google Hangout.
No, what we really need to do. What we really need to do.
What?
We need a live video show. And it needs to be done on YouTube. And people with 1,000 or more subscribers can do live video on YouTube.
Wait a minute.
So.
No. No.
So we can get the Omega live!
Am not exposing you people to my YouTube channel.
Oh.
Okay.
It's going to be so much fun!
I will lose so many subscribers.
Alright, fine. We'll settle on this. You do a live video.
Me?
Yes, you.
Live.
Live.
God, I can't do anything without editing.
You could check your moneymaker for all your fangirls.
My moneymaker... No, you know what? I'm not even going to finish that. It will get used for years.
Damn it! I tried, Rock. I really tried. I'm sorry. Anyway, next question.
Please.
We're running out of time, so next question.
Yes, let's get in some... I'm going to go to some of the serious questions. Serious, or what the fuck's that word? Anyway. How did we all meet? It was a long time ago, in a far, far off land. In a small...
Tijuana.
Called Tijuana. In a chat room, long, long times ago.
Called AudioWrestling.com.
Where this person named TJ Omega, I think just going by Omega at that point, and me going by Rock and Sock, and Lindsay going by Cowboy Chick, all met in a chat room.
And that's not one of the fun kind.
Not one of the fun kind. No.
Yeah, not one of the fun kind. It was when we were listening to...
Actually, if you think about it, it was a fun chat room.
It really was a fun chat room, but we were listening to people doing exactly what we do now, and it was a wrestling radio show, and that's how we all met, and that includes Tim and Mace and Spug. I think the only one that we didn't meet in the chat room was Alan. And
the cheap Pete people.
And the cheap Pete people, and yeah, that's how we all know each other, and we've just kept track of each other for years.
Yeah, everyone on CB Radio, I'd met elsewhere, but us here on the show, we all met in a chat room for another show, And someday, because this is how things happen, you all will be doing a show. And
yes.
And you will get listeners saying...
You are our children.
You are our children, basically.
Go for it.
Yes.
That's scary.
This year was probably, what, 2003, 4? Something like that.
For what?
Meeting? For when we all met.
Oh, jeez.
I think we met... I think I've known Omega longer. Possibly.
God, I can't remember.
I'm trying to remember. When was the Kid Cash interview on WNL?
2005.
Okay, then that's when I met at least... Yeah, that's when I met you guys, because that's I started listening to WNL right after that.
Yeah, because that was the year that's the first year I did the best of.
Right.
So there you go. Matt Goldberg asked, did you always inspire to be in radio? No. Wrestling radio? No. How did it come about? Well, again, we met in a chat room. And then we met this person named Tim Stein. And, well...
It all went downhill from there.
It all went downhill from there, and then, yeah.
Yeah, no, we never ever thought we'd be in wrestling radio, I don't think any of us. And, yeah, it's just a crazy random happenstance that we're all here, I think.
Yeah, if you actually have access to any kind of WNL archives, I have no idea if or where they are anymore. I actually did attempt to co-host there while Trey was out, and it was just this other guy.
This other guy, yes.
I sucked. Badly.
Mm-hmm.
And promised myself I'd never do that again.
And here you are.
I don't fucking know why.
So, yeah, we met... That's how we all kind of sort of met, and that's how we started getting in radio. Me and Omega started working together when, one night, on MySpace, Omega promoted, he was doing a podcast live MySpace. On... Yes, this was MySpace, on wildtalkradio.com. But they were having issues, and that's where I stepped in and became the producer of Otaku Talk Live, for those people who remember that show. I was pitching in one night because I knew how to do it, and well, I've been stuck here ever since.
That's when we pinned him down, strapped him to a chair, and have never let him go.
It started with OTL, and then it went to subbing, keeping people occupied for Tim because he wasn't home, and then becoming then producer of WTR because Tim stepped away for a while. Yeah, and it all started from there. That damn OTL with Spug and Omega.
So I'm to blame for all this.
Yes, you are. And MySpace.
Fuck you, MySpace.
Let's see. We answered that one. How did the rack come together? Well... A show was pitched to us. Lindsay and someone else pitched a show. And, well, that was a show. And then the Thunder Cunt left.
I like how it just went from this ambiguous person to Thunder Cunt.
And they don't know who that is. One person does. That's all that matters. And then me and Lindsay got to talking, and then we revamped the show into what you hear today.
Yeah, the basic story is I obviously have not been in radio long. I have not been in wrestling radio long. A former friend and the former co-host of this show and I got together. I was doing her show, and I came back to and was listening to Wild Talk Radio again, and I had the great idea, I guess, of pitching the show to Rock and saying, hey, how would you like a female-hosted show on your network? And that's kind of how it got started, and then she and I had a falling out, and there was a moment where the show was actually going to be pulled because I didn't think I could do it without her, and Rock and I talked about it, and we decided, well, let's give it a go and see how things turn out, and we've been doing it ever since, and I couldn't be happier with it, actually.
See, she tried to quit on me, and I would never let her quit.
Nope.
That's the honest truth. She tried quitting on me, and I was not having any part of it.
Yeah, I actually tried to quit the network, and twice, actually. Mm-hmm. And Rock and Tim would not let me quit either time. So.
No, I was having no part of it. Because, after all, Lindsay Ward is the hashtag favorite.
Yep. Pretty much.
Since we're all combining things. Let's see. Any other ones? Because I know we're up against it because Lindsay has to go to work. Yeah, we'll stop there. Because nothing really can... A couple questions were asked twice. We've answered... We've talked about Rob Van Dam on Wrestle Talk Radio. So, yeah. We'll save the rest of them for the next time we do Ask the Rack.
Well, there's one more, and it's from Matt. And it's, if we didn't aspire to be in wrestling radio, it's what did we aspire to do?
Being awesome.
I actually aspire to be a graphic artist. If you want to go to my Twitter, at Lens Ward. If you want to go to my DeviantArt, lensward.deviantart.com, psychwarddesigns.com, you can see a lot of my artwork out there, available. By the way, FU2K Games, that's all I'm going to say. Sorry.
And
your contest.
Yes. check out WTRProductions.net, which is getting an overhaul. And if you like website work, look at the one you're on right now. It's kind of awesome. I built it. I'm awesome like that. But yeah,
yes.
there was questions like, you know, a long backstory of who, you know, how we, you know, got together and all that fun stuff and getting into radio and all that stuff. We'll get into that in more detail because I can tell some stories about how all things come together, and that's a show in itself, but we don't have time to get into it tonight. But we'll get into it another time.
Yes, we will. We will totally get into it. So on that note...
We got to go quickly through question tonight.
Yes, we do.
All right, so read the question as I pull up the answers.
Question of the night. If you could do an entrance with any superstar, who would it be?
Stone Cold Steve Austin in a beer truck, washing down the PG era. DX and Stone Cold was said, with any superstar, Velvet, just saying, do the entrance of any superstar, The Undertaker. Sting from the rafters. One person said, Owen Hart.
Ooh.
I know I had other ones. Omega, entrance, what would you do?
Ah, jeez.
You called in. You're a part of the show, so I got to throw it to you.
I know.
Your mistake. Jed Schaefer, Undertaker, the Druids, the Torches, the Smoke, the Lights, hells yeah. And there's one other one, if I could find it, because Twitter's being a bitch. Matt Goldberg said Gangrel. Because, yeah, I read that on the Facebook, Gangrel. Jersey Girl says Edge. Well, we got one for Rob Van Dam. There's already one. Rob Van Dam. We got DX or the NWO from Vince and Melendez. I would say DX is my entrance because it's awesome. With the pyro doing the chop. Awesome.
You know, just once, I'd like to do Rey Mysterio's old entrance.
Pop, jumping out the sky.
That just looks fun.
Jumping out the sky, it's the O-M-E-G-A.
Yeah, the song doesn't work, but whatever.
No Booyaka, Booyaka in your life?
Inferno needs no song with Booyakas.
What about you, Lindsay?
No surprise, I probably want to do Takers.
I'm going to be good, because, yeah.
I didn't say do Taker, I said Takers.
It's a very carefully placed S.
Mm-hmm. Takers heads.
Plural.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that just, yeah, that entrance is just amazing if you see it in person. And there really is nothing like it. And also, I just, you know, basically get to, you know, cling on him and follow him everywhere, like the sad, sick little fangirl that I am.
Matt Goldberg wants to do Big Dick Johnson's entrance.
With the thong?
With the thong, Matt? Come on, really, Matt? Is that your next YouTube video, Matt? Huh? 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 Your next vlog? Huh? 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 I think we need to see Matt Goldberg do the Big Dick Johnson entrance. Coming soon to youtube.com/mbg1211. There you go. It's in black and white. He will be vlogging in Big Dick Johnson's thong. You heard it here first. It's an exclusive. It's a hashtag rock exclusive. Matt Goldberg will be vlogging in Big Dick Johnson's thong.
Why? Why?
Don't you just love an interactive chat room, Omega? Anyway, you want to rant, or do we not have time for your rant?
No, we have enough time for my rant.
Okay.
Basically, my rant is this. It concerns Paula Deen and the situation surrounding her and the fact that she's basically being crucified in the public eye because of her use of a racial slur. And I find it a little ridiculous that this is happening to her based on the fact that it's something that she used. At minimum, she's accused of using it 6 years ago. At maximum, it's 20 and beyond. And the fact that people are really kind of overreacting to a situation for a word, and they're judging her based on using this word, when she said it years ago, basically. She doesn't walk around saying it. She doesn't condone saying it. And if you actually go out and you find the transcript of her testimony from the trial, she talks about it in it. And the media is blowing this way out of proportion. They're blowing this way out of context. And I mainly wanted to bring this up because I read something very truthful and very powerful, and it's from Dr. Maria Dixon, who is a professor of religion and communications. And she wrote a very powerful blog posting, slash, if you want to call it an essay, regarding this situation. Mm-hmm. And I want to take a little snippet because it kind of sort of sums up the whole thing kind of beautifully. And it says that, so when Paula Deen's transcript was leaked to the press last week, the script was already in place. The media would report that she used the N-word, everybody would gasp, then the outrage would begin. She would be crucified by the New York Times, Facebook pundits, and of course her fellow chefs. She would be tried by the court of public opinion, who would judge her entire life's work and character by the use of the N-word in a private conversation. Racist, we would yell, she would cry, her business would be destroyed, and progressives would declare victory. Yet here's the reality. Deen told the truth about her past. Knowing everything, her empire, her contracts, and sponsorships were at stake, she told the truth. She was more honest under oath than at least three U.S. presidents, several dozen Catholic, Methodist, Baptist, and non-denominational preachers, and countless business leaders. Unlike the Pope, Joe Paterno, or Donald Trump, she acknowledged that she hadn't always gotten it right, but that she and her company were committed to doing it better, and were doing it better. Let's get this straight. I'm not condoning anyone calling me or anyone who looks like me by any racial slur, but neither am I going to kill someone's career because they admit that they have, in anger, fear, or in the past, have used one. Here it is in a nutshell. Paula Deen has used the N-word. She has either told or listened to racial jokes. She has probably said stuff and joked about stuff that went over the line. So here is the dilemma in my oh-so-righteous progressive friends. Anyone who hasn't, please step up and throw the first stone. But before you reach down to pick it up, you better check YouTube, your best friend's iPhone, your high school squeezes slam book, or your grandma's videotapes before you do. Basically, she's telling everybody, before you start throwing stones, look at yourself first. Because for everybody acting more holier than thou, that they've never done this thing, they're wrong. I would almost bet pretty much everybody has told or joked or made some kind of racial comment in some context in the past 20 years, if you've been alive that long, let alone the last six. So I think it's just a little ridiculous that she's getting all this crap when everybody out there has done the same thing. And they're just not realizing that they have. So, yeah, it's just, to me, the whole thing feels a little ridiculous and just stupid. So.
I couldn't agree more.
Before you start judging her, and really before you start judging anybody, look at yourself first. And that's all I really have to say on that. And I will happily, if anybody wants the link to the full...
We'll put it on the RAC Facebook page.
Yeah, it'll go out on the RAC Facebook page. If you want to read the full thing, I invite you to do so, because it's a beautifully written piece that sums up the entire situation very eloquently.
So, yeah. Anyway. By the way, go to RackRadioShow.com right now. Matt Goldberg, and you can buy I'm a Rack Guy Thong. Available now. RackRadioShow.com. You know, for your VLOG.
Yes.
I could put one with the Rack logo on if you really want. Anyway.
Anyway, on that note, we've got to wrap because I've got to go. So, on that note, Omega, plug your stuff real quick.
You can find... all my stuff is at tgomega.org or the TG Omega YouTube channel. I'm at TG Omega on Twitter, and the only place I'm not TG Omega is TG Reviews on Facebook.
And Matt, RackRadioShow.com, click the shop section. My thong says, I'm a rack guy. You can wear it in your Big Dick Johnson V-lock. If you want, I can put one with the Rack logo on it. Available now, RackRadioShow.com, along with a lot of other items. Like shirts and stuff like that. Got some cool shirts. You could say you're a Lindsay Ward guy. Or girl.
You can.
You got those shirts available at RackRadioShow.com. Plugging stuff. Saturday night, probably playing Cards Against Humanity around 10 p.m. because that's what we do. It's Evil's Apples, Apples. If you want to play along with us, get in touch with us on the Facebooks, because Omega, we like people playing with us, don't we?
I'm not going to touch that.
Playing cards with us.
Oh, yeah, I like playing cards with people.
So, Omega wants people to play cards with us. So, play cards with us. Saturdays, 10 p.m. Follow that. It is Midnight FC Burrito. Join myself, Subway, and Rob Parks. Probably me and Sub this week, because Rob's at a wedding, I think. So, tune in. It's weird. It's wacky. It's unusual. It's CB Radio, Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern, with Tim Stein, Mason Omega, talking week pro wrestling. Monday night, Rob Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Tuesday night, KFA Wrestling Radio, with Alan Wojcik. I'll read it for quoting. Alan's favorite manager, J.J. Dillon, will be on show. Up in there about Wednesday night for Cheap Heat Radio. Stay tuned to Facebook.com/CheapHeatRadio for more details. Thursday night, we'll be back for another edition of The Rack right here at WildTalkRadio.com, 11 p.m. Eastern, RackRadioShow.com. Follow us on Twitter at WildTalkRadio. Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. WTRProductions.net. If you're so inclined, go in the Calgary area, go check out Canadian All Pro Wrestling this Saturday. Saddle up. Lindsay.
They'll have straps. You can follow me on Twitter at Linz Ward, LINSWRD. You can go to my website, segwarddesigns.com. You can go to my Behance profile. Yes, it's kind of new. Behance.net/Linz, LINSWRD. So check that out. Also, go check out my DeviantArt, linzward.deviantart.com. Go to CassidyRiley.net for all your Cassidy Riley needs. RackRadioShow.com. WTR Productions, and of course, please visit our fine sponsors, PWMania.com, MimlanePromo.com, and TNAsylum.com. They've helped us out. They're tremendous. They're awesome. And also, please listen and visit all the other fine programming on this network. We all work very hard to entertain you, and we hope that you're entertained. So please listen, enjoy, comment, interact, do all those fun things. But for Omega and for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. I've got to get out of here, so I will talk to you all next week. You've been listening to Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Bye.